Congress back in session starting this afternoon, and their schedules this week make it look like the budget might be on their minds a little bit. David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call, is here. He's host of the Hawkins Here blog on the Roll Call website. David, they are going to be here for 3 weeks in a row. We won't know what to do.
They're short weeks. Don't worry. I mean, the American public need not worry. It's only two Thursday this week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's much easier to handle then. Are they going to try to smash in a lot of heavy lifting in these 3 weeks?
They're going to try and smash in a lot of some pretty heavy lifting. Yeah, they're going to fight about unemployment insurance, in which they will probably get nowhere. They're going to fight about what to do about the physician payments to doctors, in which they might get somewhere, at least a patch that'll get them through the election. And then they're going to have about several dozen, it seems, probably fewer than that, hearings by the appropriations committees.
No, you know what? You may not be overstating it by that much, because I think the House Appropriations Committee, if you count all the subcommittee hearings, I think they do have between a half dozen and a dozen just that one committee, and that doesn't include then, of course, all of the other House committees or any of the Senate committees and subcommittees. So that was what made me think that they were going to try to get really far along in these 3 weeks, if they can, on this fiscal 15 budget process.
I think that's right, and I think just to remind one another and the people listening that when we talk about the budget process, we are really talking about the routine business of the appropriations process. The mainstream media and including us will pay some attention to is whether they will fight about a big budget, whether Paul Ryan will propose a conservative blueprint for fiscal austerity and entitlement reform, whether his fellow Republicans will go for that, whether Patty Murray, the chairwoman of the Senate Budget Committee, will even propose a budget that might make the Democrats up for re-election on her side in the Senate feel awkward. All those things will happen. None of them really matter because a budget blueprint isn't going to happen. But what is going to happen is an appropriations process based on the fact that last fall they agreed on how much money to spend.
I was thinking about this over the weekend, which is a pathetic commentary, I suppose, on the things that I think about over the weekend. And it occurred to me that this budget process starts to sound and look and smell like the kinds of work that gets done in Congress, like the session right before an election, where the sense of it is, I just can't wait for this to be over so I can get out of here. Because of the way that the election cycles run now, because of the amount of money that some of these races are already seeing being spent, David, it sounds like they want to really just do all of the mundane-type business as quickly as possible. Now, I'm not saying that I think that means that they're going to have a budget deal anytime soon, but it also feels to me like they don't want this to stretch out till September 29th.
I think that is right up to a point. You and I have talked in the past about how I was optimistic that they might get most of the spending bills done before they went home for the election. In the last few days, some people I've been talking to, I might have been overly optimistic. I think there might be only a few of the regular appropriations bills get done before the election. Others might get done during the lame duck, and then there's also sort of the nefarious water cooler chat on the Hill that if the Republicans believe that they have a chance of taking back the Senate in November and thereby running all of Congress starting next year, they may slow walk the budget process, right beyond the election, right beyond the lame duck, and insist on finishing the fiscal 15 budget early next year. But that's maybe getting us ahead of ourselves. In the meantime, there is some talk about getting at least what they can get done as early as possible, and that might mean at least starting the subcommittee markups as soon as the House and Senate come back from their spring Passover Easter recess on about April 28th.
One of your colleagues there at Roll Call is kind of sitting in the catbird seat when it comes to that projection, though. I saw a tweet or something somewhere today where some folks were mentioning that when Stu Rothenberg decides what he's going to call about predictions about the Senate,
yes,
that could really put the nail in the coffin for potentially for the Democratic caucus as far as drying up money that would make it more easy for them to get reelected.
True that, yes. And I think that, you know, there is increasingly, I'm not sure whether Stu, my colleague Stu Rothenberg, has put out a macro reevaluation of the Senate. Some other people have. It does, you know, with each passing day, it does look like the odds are going up that the Republicans at least have a chance. You know, the odds that they will take, that they will retake the Senate this fall, have gone from a long shot to a decent shot. Some people think it's now better than a 50-50 shot. Some people still think it's a 50-50 shot, but they're looking stronger all the time, and that could embolden them to try and renegotiate all the things that you and I talked about several times as being settled as of last December.
All right, that is news to me, David, and that's not good news that we're potentially going to tear all this stuff out, this work that's been done, and try to put it all back together again. I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure that they're going to. I mean, I think I think it's a long shot and probably too early to say that they will undo the grand spending total. What Senator McConnell, the Republican leader, has said, and what Mitch and what Eric Cantor has both said, is that the Republicans are willing to proceed on the assumption that they are going to spend the grand total amount of money that was agreed to in the so-called Ryan-Murray budget deal of December-January, and not try and reopen that can of worms. So I think it's too early to say that the Republicans would actually try and lower that number if they took control, but what they might try to do is leverage to get a little bit more of their priorities rewarded at the expense of the Democrats' priorities within that same top-line number.
Okay, who will you be paying the most attention to in the coming weeks to try to figure out where this is headed? Will it be Murray and Ryan, or are they out because the numbers settled already and it's Congressman Rogers, the House Appropriations Chair, and Senator Mikulski, the Senate Appropriations Chair, or other people, or what?
Well, one thing to be paying attention to are the senators, the so-called Red State Four. These are the four Senate Democrats who are running for re-election in states that Mitt Romney carried, and some of them, as it turns out, three of those four are on Senate Appropriations: Mark Begich, Mary Landrieu, and Mark Pryor. Three of those four are on Senate Appropriations. So if those three decide that it's in their best interest to not get deeply enmeshed in long, drawn-out debates on the Senate floor in which the Republicans can propose all sorts of amendments that make politically Sophie's choices for those three, then it looks like things are getting delayed. And if those three conclude that there's a way to get much of the work done before the election in a way that they don't feel politically harmed, then that'll be an indicator, too.
Begich is from Alaska, Landrieu's from Louisiana, Pryor's from Arkansas, and the other one's Kay Hagan from North Carolina, right?
That is correct. Thanks. I should have said so.
That's all right. We do this as a team, David.
There you go.
We work together. It's always great to have you on. What do you got? What are you going to write about in the Hawkins Here blog this week?
So tonight I am writing about what we talked about right at the top, which is that the Republicans are sort of positioning themselves for a pretty ugly headline this week, which the headline would be: Republican Congress says yes to the doctors, no to to bailing out the doctors, and no to the jobless, which is they're going to go along with another one of these Medicare physician payment patches, which essentially holds the doctors harmless against Medicare cuts, but they are not going to allow a restoration of long-term jobless benefits. They have some good arguments for this, but what my central point is that in an election year, good arguments get trumped by perception, and it's the perception that matters when you're campaigning, and this reinforces the kind of narrative that the Republicans kind of have a tenure when it comes to income inequality.
There is no scenario in which this term perception is reality is more true than the electoral cycle, David.
That is true. So then the question becomes, are we always in an electoral cycle in Congress, or is there once in a great while are we in a policy-making cycle? It seems like those policy-making cycles are getting shorter and farther apart than ever before.
Indeed they are, and thank you for helping us understand them, David.
Thanks a lot.